Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yeah, listening to that lady there, maybe Rosa Rakunga Allah Tawfiq is there. And you know, he is going to keep the Sunnah fast. Yeah, that's what he's saying, Monday and Thursday. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Youngsters motivated. But someone that's motivating us this morning is our very own Adam Kamda. And he's not standing on his 10th floor and looking over the promenade. Adam is there in the South Coast this morning. He's in 1020. And Alhamdulillah, Adam Kamda, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing this fine, a beautiful morning in 1020?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafad. Yes, I hope you can hear me clearly. It's a little bit of a farm town here and the signal is not so strong. But nevertheless, we are chasing sardines. So we left Durban yesterday afternoon. Dad loves sardine spotting. So took him for a lovely drive down the south coast. Ended up here at 1020 in a beautiful self-catering apartment called Ambleside. It's really nicely appointed with beautiful flowing gardens. It looks like a Japanese garden with a little arch bridge going over a stream that goes through the property. So a really beautiful part of our south coast, Shafaq. And weather-wise, it's looking a bit windy. The forecast is for about 20 knots southwesterly winds, cold winds, low-level clouds with a chance of rain today, Shafaq.
I tell you something beautiful, clear and lovely. A lot of fresh south coast fresh air you're getting through on the airwaves of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Well, the South Coast is alive, it's teeming with lots of traffic, but so many of these trucks we see, or all these buckies, all ready with crates, and you know, each one has a number. What is the significance of all these buckies having numbers on the side, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, you know, people think sardines are for free, and why do the sardine netters charge so much? So the sardine netters have to be licensed, their vehicles need to be marked, because as you know, driving on the beaches is banned in South Africa. So these guys are given special permission to drive onto the beach to launch their boats. And these boats are really nimble. Most of them use the rubber ducks, and they can launch at virtually any beach along our coast, not only the recognized launch sites, which are chosen most of the launch sites have a little bit of shelter from rocks, so you can drop your boat into a pool of water, warm your engines up, and then head out to sea. But these boats can launch nearly everywhere, from any of the beaches along our coast. And they have to be nimble, because the sardines usually play cat and mouse, as has been this season, Shafat. It's a little bit of a late season, although it's still within the timings. But compared to last year, our first nets were pulled 31st of May last year. This year, I think it was just 2 days ago, the first nets were pulled along the Margate area. Yesterday, they were at Hibernian. So when we drove down from Durban yesterday, we stopped at Hibernian. But it was a bit late in the afternoon. We took it very relaxed and easy. We couldn't really spot any signs of birds, dolphins, or sardines, Shafat. The water had already looked quite choppy by the afternoon. But we had a wonderful, relaxed drive, stopped at the lookout point, had some coffee and tea there, took some lovely photos of our beautiful South Coast, Shafat.
I tell you, you bring it alive. You're a cool, calm operator. Yeah, but you don't have those, those buckies labels and all, but you're an observer, and Allah's given you the gift of, you know, giving a story so beautifully, and it makes for easy listening. Now, Adam, you look at these guys that have these buckies. They maybe have 3, 4, or 5. But most of these people, when you talk to them, you'll notice that they are descendants of their forefathers who were fishermen. So it runs in the family. It's a lineage of fishermen. Talk to us about that scenario, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, when it comes to the fishing industry, a lot of these skills are passed on from generation to generation. To be a sardine netter, Shafad, you can't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I've got 100,000 rand in the bank. I want to invest in a sardine net and a boat and a bucky or whatever. And it'll cost close to 1 million rand if you count the bucky and the boat and the nets. The nets alone cost about 100,000 rand. So you can't just wake up one morning and say, I've got 1 million rand in the bank. I want to be a sardine netter. It's not just buying the equipment, Shafad. It's an amazing amount of skill in terms of the timing, being able to follow the sardines. I've heard folklore of my friend Ghulam Isak, that he will stand on the shore's edge, and he'll be able to smell the oil off the water, and he will tell you there's sardines there before the sun is even up for you to be able to visually confirm that there are large shoals of sardines. They can actually use their nose and tell you, Shafwat, sardines are around. So it's these kind of skills. And also, you know, you need to have a little bit of a cowboy mentality as well, because sometimes when the sea is not quite forgiving and you can see it's on its head, the conditions are not perfect for launching, these guys will still go out there. It's a little bit of a challenge between all the teams to be the first to pull the sardines out. And it's usually the first net that commands the best price. Last year it was 1,500 rand a crate. This year I think it was similar, although I have seen posts at 1,000 rand a crate already on social media, Shafwat.
Alhamdulillah, yes, I know the 1,000 rand thing has been touted about, and a lot of people went to a lot of cash to go and get the sardines, the one crate, two crates, three crates. But I want to know about these buckies and, you know, these netters. How big is the crew, and where do they source out the staff from? Are those people that are helping qualified, you know, or have a training in, you know, pulling out sardines, or are they, you know, good fishermen and so forth? Talk to us about the crew and how, you know, they move about and how slick they are when they're pulling out these shoals of sardines, Adam.
Yes, Shafwat, these crew, I would assume, start off, you know, they're hiring like casual workers to come and assist them. But over the seasons, over the years, they become, you know, one cohesive team, and they all acquire the various skills that's required, because some of them actually have to dive into the nets and swim into the nets and splash the water and chase the sardines into the back of the net. Then you have the crew that's on the boat with the skipper. He has to be, you know, quite sharp to help to spot the sardines. And the skipper is, I think, the most crucial member of this team, because he has to choose when to drop the net. And if the fish are a bit too far out and he drops the net too far, then it's impossible to pull it back, or the net could be sideswept by currents and demolished on the rocks. And then eventually when they get both those arms out onto the shore for the crews to pull them in, this is where you see the big teams of helpers coming to draw the nets towards the shore. But here you have the frenzy of the public, Shafwat, that come down and assist them. And the netters welcome that. They love for the public to interact and to assist. You know, you haven't experienced a sardine run if you haven't laid your hands on those ropes, Shafwat. So I encourage everyone to take a drive down, make an outing of it with the family. You don't need a 4x4. You don't need to drive on the beach. Park in the designated areas along the beaches and take a walk along the seashore. It's healthy. And lend a hand to the netters. Have a chat with them. They are a really friendly bunch of people, Shafwat.
Now, Adam, I'm going way back, because I hear when these, mostly these Indian netters, when they talk, they're always using Isipingo or Isipingo Beach as a source of a reference. They say, yes, my grandfather was there, and my grandfather was the one that used to take the rowing boat and get into, you know, I think we should call him Kanna. I can still remember that name. And they used to go and, you know, pull the sardine out. And, you know, everyone went there, someone with a basket, someone with a vest and what. But each one took the, and sometimes Kanna used to get angry. He said, no, we'll give y'all, don't worry, we'll give y'all. But then you find even now these netters are there. Someone will just rudely run in there with a basket and pull out the, you know, the sardines from their nets. I mean, what's your take on that, Adam?
Yes, Shafwat, you know, when the public go down, they mustn't get too much into a frenzy, which makes them greedy, because the sardines that are in the net belongs to the netter. Whatever spills over, you often get many sardines swimming sideways out of the nets, or when the waves crash on the nets, there's some spillage. Those sardines are free for all. So you can take your baskets and your buckets and your shirts and your saris or whatever and scoop them up to your heart's content, but don't dig into the nets. And, you know, sometimes I've heard of stories of visitors being so malicious, they even use knives and cut the nets to let the sardines out so they can steal some. So be respectful that these are professionals. These guys wait once, you know, wait the entire year to have this opportunity. And even when the opportunity comes, it's pretty much a hit and miss with so many different factors against the netters. But when things do come together for the netters, allow them that space and give them that respect and assist them to pull the sardines out. And I've heard over the last few, the recent years especially, that the netters, once they've had their fill and managed to recover the most of their costs, at the end of the net, they would open it up and let the public help themselves to what they want, and even create them and transport them to needy areas, poor areas, and distribute them for free, Shafaat. So that's quite commendable for the and big-hearted of the netters. But encourage everyone to show them that respect and don't display signs of greed, you know, when you are going to grab sardines out of the net, Shafaat.
You said it so beautifully there that, you know, some of the sardines will swim sideways and grab those sardines and show respect because these natives have paid, you know, quite a fortune for the license, for the vehicles and the crew that they're paying. So we should have that respect. And earlier on, you told us, you know, some of these helpers that are, or the crew that is, you know, they have to jump into the water and, you know, chase a sardine in towards the net. And what I'm thinking of, Adam, how often do sharks come in there? Because I'm sure they're following the sardines. And these guys have to be very brave to be in the water at that time because, you know, a shark can do sharky things, Adam.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head, Shafaat. These sardines are predated on by dolphins, sharks, and birds from above. And even when the skipper drops his net and scoops the sardines as they pull them to the shore, they very often find sharks trapped in these nets. And as you rightly said, it's a huge risk for this diver that goes into the net and tries to, you know, round up the sardines into the back of the net. He's also swimming around with this hungry little shark that's feeding on the sardines and then sees this human being, you know, the silhouette of this human being on the surface splashing around. So, you know, these divers have to be really very wary. If the shark is showing signs that it wants to attack you, you have to get out of the water very quickly. But I haven't heard of any recent incidents where sharks, you know, actually bit these divers. The times that I've seen one or two sharks come out in the nets, Shafar, these the netting crews try their best to lift the shark up without harming it and return it back into the water, Shafar.
Now, I'm visualizing the scenario. Here you got tons and tons of sardines, though, and you're pulling it out, and you find a shark in the net. How often do these sharks damage these sardines? You know, it's no good for sale because maybe make it like mincemeat, Adam.
You know, Shafaat, it's not so much the sardines that they damage. It's actually the shark nets that they damage. And sometimes it's not even the sharks that are trapped inside the net. You find because all these sardines are corralled into the net, imagine the sharks that are predating from the outside of the net, and they can smell the fish oils and the scales that are coming off these sardines and getting smashed against each other and oozing out through this net. So these sharks actually go and chomp on the net to try and get at the sardines. So they do an infinite amount of damage to the nets, and that's what the netters dread the most. They don't want the sharks to be biting on the nets from the outside because they end up making big holes in them and they could end up, you know, losing their entire net and having to purchase a new net for the new season.
And I also know that our, you know, our shorelines, especially in the Indian Oceans, are very rocky. You know your area in the river mouth, so many rocks, or you go to Tiger Rocks, they call it Tiger Rocks. And to throw your net in to, you know, areas like that could be quite risky because your net can get stuck in the rocks and there again damage, Adam.
Yes, Shafa, these are all the perils that the public are not aware of. The netters go where the sardines go, and even if it's amongst rocky areas, they would, you know, they would try and drop the net a little bit away from the rocks and catch, they call it a piece of fish, meaning a portion of the shoal, hoping to catch maybe 50 crates or 100 crates. And, you know, they try and aim for either side of the rocky outcrop, you know, so, and they try and time it also with the current. So the current must pull the nets towards the sandy beaches, not towards the rocky beaches. But sometimes things do go wrong, Shafat, and the nets end up getting fouled on the rocks. Then you'd have the other netting teams would come out with their boats, and you know they'll try and assist each other to pull those nets off the rocks and get it back to shore, Shafat.
Now, Adam, you know, you and Dan driving together, I presume maybe you've got your other brothers with you. And what's the conversation like, you know, having Dad on your passenger side? You know, what's the conversation like? And, you know, you, alhamdulillah, being blessed, taking Dad around. What he, does he recall the past? Or he talks about things that are current, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, you know, our theme is that, you know, make the best of every day. You know, it was such an emotional time in August last year when he was hospitalized with COVID, and we all knew, you know, this is the end. And so he's been spared, his health is perfect, he's pain-free. So I tell Dad, you know what, every day is Father's Day, let's go fishing, let's go for a drive, let's just make the best of every single day, Shafat. And that's how we live, and that's how we enjoy him. And we'd rather make the effort to be with him and enjoy his company, enjoy his wisdom while he's able and up and about, Shafat, instead of, you know, later if he's not well and then everyone's running by his bedside. It's too late to spend time with him then. I feel, you know what, we should all make the effort and enjoy our elders, enjoy our parents while they're around. Because when the day comes that they go, you know, you mustn't have regrets that I should have done this. I should have done that, Shafat.
Now, blessed indeed, and alhamdulillah, as you know, Adam made a very telling point this morning. Yeah, not only on a Sunday, on a 19 June, it's Father's Day. Father's Day is every day. Mother's Day is every day. You got them, go and embrace them, go and celebrate them. And you know what? Adam also makes lekker chow for them, but I will get to that just now. Adam, you know, you talk about the sardine run, and there you are enjoying yourself. Perhaps in your memory bank, which was one of the most memorable sardine runs you have been to thus far, Adam?
You know, Shafat, although I grew up in Durban, but I hadn't really experienced much of the sardine run. It's only in the recent years when I got really close to netters like Tony from Tony's Car Sales and Ghulam Isak, one of the older, most experienced netters. And they phone me almost daily, Shafat, to tell me where the sardines are. Because a lot of the media like rely on me for information on the sardines, and I've built up such a lovely rapport with them, and they also are big-hearted, Shafat. They are the ones, they are the culprits that give out free sardines at the end of the net and take them to the communities as well. So I'm really fortunate and really blessed being part of the big fishing industry in terms of fishing tackle, etc., but also, you know, having a good rapport with these netters, and there's a wonderful community around netting, and it's the recent years that we've seen, especially the last 3 years, that we've seen excellent sardine runs. This year, some of the netters were a bit despondent, thinking, oh my God, we've had 3 years of good sardine runs. Sometimes they give us a miss. I hope this year isn't one of those miss years. But I think it was a big relief 2 days ago when the first nets were pulled at Margate. And everyone's very optimistic that there are still huge, thick shoals moving up the coast. So they're all very positive. And with these conditions, Shafar, with the cold weather, snow on the berg, and the winds blowing in the right direction, the sea temperatures dropping, all the conditions are aligning for that migration to continue. And it's a trigger for these shoals where they are holding up around the Port Edward area to now start moving further up. And they move quite fast, Shafat. You know, even from 2 days ago to today, they may even be in the area of around Winkelspruit. And it won't be long, maybe a matter of a few days, you might even spot shoals off Durban as well, Shafat.
Now, there's a big question coming through. I can hear the Ummah screaming, ask Adam this question. Is there, you know, your taste buds, is that sardine, you know, more of an Indian thing, more Indians love eating the sardine. Maybe, you know, the European brothers, they love it for just as a sport. And our African brothers, tell us about the different type of, you know, we made of a rainbow nation. Who's more prone to enjoying a hearty sardine meal compared to the others in the rainbow nation, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, as you mentioned, it's a rainbow nation, and I think South Africans in general all love sardines because the sardine phenomenon, we've been following it for so many decades. And, you know, traditionally it's a really cheap source of protein. It's a cheap meal, you know, in the height of the netting, you could buy the sardines for like 10 rand a dozen. So it's really accessible to everyone. And we Indians love it because we love to spice it with masala and turmeric powder and vinegar and fry it in oil, make it like really crispy and serve it with buttered bread and ice cold Coke. But I'm sure all the other nations, the whites probably love it with salt and pepper. Our black population also are fond of sardines now. And even, you know, like if you look at European descendants, like with the links to the Mediterranean countries, like Italians, etc., they are very fond of sardines. So it's even in their culture to look out for this phenomenon when the sardine run comes through, and they make the best of it when the sardines are here and eat till their stomach is full and their heart's content. And they know that, you know what, we're only going to get it again the following year, Shafat. So I think it appeals to everyone in South Africa.
Okay, you gave us a really good rundown there. So every South African, they love their sardines. And then you get that, you know, netter that quickly gets his sardine, and they're flying to, you know, Gauteng, or they're getting inland. How long it takes them to get with all the sardines they're catching? How much of sardine do they get there? And how long can a sardine stay fresh, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj. As you know, a lot of Durbanites have moved up to Johannesburg for work or family, and they end up settling there and really miss the winter season sardine run. So I think it started off with a few family members, you know, taking a few dozen sardines in cooler boxes up to Joburg, but it's been done commercially as well. I think it's B. Nagia's, the butchery, that has a few branches in Johannesburg. And when the sardines are abundant, they actually load their buckies, their refrigerated vehicles, and transport these sardines up to Johannesburg and offer it as an item on the price list of whether it's fish. Now they actually offer sardines, and they really do a fantastic job of it, Shafar. You know, it's taken fresh from the ocean, it's kept in a refrigerated truck, it's looked after perfectly, and they even offer cleaned sardines. So there's a price for the whole sardine, or if you want clean sardines, they'll scale it, they'll gut it, they'll even remove the heads for you. Because a lot of ladies, they are really squeamish when it comes to sardines. They say, I don't want a clean sardines, I don't want my whole house smelling of sardines. So this is a really easy way, Shafat. You know, you buy the clean sardines, you just rinse them off, you marinate them exactly as you want, and you just fry them up and feed the entire family. Everyone's palate is satisfied, and that's done and dusted for the season, Shafat.
I tell you, Adam, you brought Tintwe in your life, and you're cool, calm, and collected. I'll be looking forward to your recipe this morning. What do you have for us?
Yes, Shafat, my recipe is a really funny story, because you mentioned Barracuda a few days ago. So I was just browsing the internet for Kuda, and I came across a recipe called Bagna Kuda. And so reading through this recipe, it's actually an Italian dish, and it's got no barracuda in it. But it is linked to our theme of sardines, because it uses anchovies, Shafat. It's a very simple recipe. This is basically a sauce that you make, a vegetable sauce with anchovies in it. And it's used as a dipping sauce with other vegetables like celery, etc. And you would use a slice of Italian bread or French bread underneath. As you dip this hot sauce, you'd eat the vegetable with the hot sauce. And as the drippings fall on your bread, when the bread is soaked, you eat the bread as well. So you eat your spoon, you eat your plate, you eat the dish, you eat everything. So you start off with 3/4 cup of olive oil and 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 12 anchovy fillets, and 6 large garlic cloves chopped. You blitz all of this in a blender, and you cook it in a medium pan on medium heat for about 15 minutes, stirring occasionally. You season this with salt and pepper, And then you add this into a fondue pot. So you keep the sauce hot on the table. So as the sauce is on the table, you dip your vegetables, cooked, raw or roasted vegetables. You dip them into the hot sauce and eat them with crispy Italian bread chapati.
I tell you, that's too good, eh? What you said, bagna kuda.
Yes, exactly.
Bodacina mevo, bagna kuda, and there's it. But the anchovies has taken over and beautifully done there, like a Mediterranean style. But before I let you go, Adam, what was for breakfast this morning? What you have had for breakfast?
Yes, Shafad, I've had my coffee already. We're looking forward to a light breakfast before we check out and continue our exploration of the South Coast, Shafad. I'd like to encourage everyone, you know, be part of the Sardine Run. It's a unique phenomenon around the world, so we're quite blessed here in KZN. So use this opportunity once a year to take your family out and come and be part of the Sardine Run.
Absolutely, Adam. You brought it alive right from the shorelines there in the South Coast. Allah keep you blessed. Enjoy your rest of your day. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Salams to you and the listeners.
Yes, our Adam Kamda keeping it alive. And I tell you, Boniface, that was a brilliant report back from there. Live and direct.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.